This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206, inside of the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio, where we hang out every single day. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So, are you as confused as we are? Who the hell's on what team? I don't even know what. What in the world? I got to tell you, I try not to, slant negatively. I try not to pick something and make a mountain out of a molehill, to use the old expression. But the NBA, they need to hit the reset button on a multitude of levels, starting with changing their league calendar so as consumers, we can know what the hell's happening in real time.
Yeah, you're right, because if you miss just a little bit of what someone said, right? So you have to be listening. Otherwise, you're like, wait, DeAndre Hunter, I swear to God, just got drafted to the Atlanta Hawks.
Why? Well, first by the Lakers.
Yes.
You're a little confused.
Yes, but why in the heck is he wearing a Lakers hat?
And
Pelicans had that pick. And, it was just bizarre. It was so, and it happened like 10 times.
I know.
And
it really turned me off.
And look, and you think about this. I know it's just it's a fleeting moment, but it is a significant moment in some of these kids' lives where they are being introduced to the world as a new whatever, a new Rocket, a new Pelican, a new Atlanta Hawk, whatever. And they're getting the picture with the commish, dapping them up. They have their sweet suits on. And it just it doesn't fit. You can't ever use that picture because it's not the team that actually drafted them whose hat they're putting on.
I know. You can probably superimpose a hat. But
true,
that's not the point.
Still, it's not the point. In the moment, it still just looks bad.
I
you
hear
can see
you.
The commissioner just kind of – it's like awkward for even Commissioner Silver.
And it's unnecessary. Awkward is, one word. Dumb is really the word that I would reach for.
I agree.
It's dumb.
It's frustrating is what it is.
It's confusing. It's
I was very
dull.
Confused. I was very confused.
So was I.
I didn't know who was going where half
imagine
the time.
If you don't do this for a living like we do.
Dude, this morning I woke up and I was like – I said to my buddy, to Berkowitz, that we had our kids, our oldest kids, not my oldest, but mine and Ron's oldest kids, our five-year-olds, preschool graduation.
Oh, they made it.
Yeah, they
did. Made it.
They made it. They made it through.
I
just did an Instagram post.
Now the real money starts coming.
Next year's
private
for real.
Schools, real
next
private.
Year's for real, Brooklyn. But we had a preschool graduation, and I'm talking to Berkowitz, who's a huge 76ers fan.
Well, he's just a huge sports fan. Berk
huge
loves sports
fan.
Big sports
but a
fan.
Huge 76ers fan. I'm like, you guys got my boy, Ty Jerome.
Yep.
And he's like, what are you talking about? We don't have Ty Jerome. Yes, you did. I saw it at the draft. It got traded to the Phoenix Suns.
Moved on to Phoenix.
I'm like, come on. And that's my guy.
It was I know. If you don't, exactly. The guy, by the way, guy almost didn't get drafted.
He didn't.
He
knew it might be close. Talking about Kyle Guy, who we had on earlier in the week, ended up getting
46?
Drafted. 40.
Sound right? I think it was 46. I think
something like that.
Mid-40s.
But he did get drafted by Sacramento, going out to the Kings, which I think will be a good spot for him.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. But listen, back to the main thing here. The season lacks rhythm. I just want to point this out, how we go through the... Now, listen, there's varying degrees of fandom, all right? I understand that for many, not for us, but for many, the NBA season starts on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
When they, outside of opening night and the symbolism there for whatever team you root for, Christmas night and goes really noon Christmas, and then leading up to the West Coast games all the way through the day, that's really the symbolic start for most. You get all the top teams, all the top players, boom, 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 boom in succession, and away we go. We get into the new year, and it's hoops time for the average to fringe fan. Now, for those of us who are immersed in it from minute one, it's different, but the NBA does so many things great. They're the most progressive league.
Great.
They're smart. They embrace change, which obviously speaks to being progressive. They look at things from every angle. They lean on the players' opinions, and they incorporate that into what they try to do. They are incredibly well-run. David Stern's different from Silver, but quite frankly, I always thought when David Stern was there, the NBA needed a bit more of an iron fist. I always thought that. I think that the NBA players today are a little savvier. I'm not going to call them smarter, but a little more polished than maybe some in the 80s and the 90s.
This is true.
You know what I mean?
So yeah, I think business savvy, just world savvy, social media savvy, everything.
Yeah,
they're aware.
So I think Adam Silver can approach his job a little differently than David Stern, and he has. He's modernized his approach. But for all the good the league does, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays on ESPN and then Saturday nights on ABC, the marquee matchups, the, you know, the great players, the incredible athleticism, this is where they destroy the season because the lack of rhythm is embarrassing to the point where they've got to overhaul this. You cannot. It's a flawed system. If I'm running a team, right, I need to know based on what I do or do not get in free agency, I need to know what I need to do in the draft, not the other way around.
Yeah.
They got to flip it.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Yeah.
Change this.
You're right. Free agency, as BT's alluding to, now has 10 days, 9 days to come to fruition. It's to the 30th, right?
Yeah, they moved it up a little bit.
To June 30th, but the draft just happened.
Exactly.
It's the 21st today, so there's just a lot of movement that's going to get smashed in. It's a kind of unfair also to the free agents. Right, some of these guys who have to make these decisions now about where they thought they were going to, have the biggest impact or ability to make a splash, but now they've just drafted a kid who might change that completely, their thought process. And if they hadn't, they may have stayed opted in to their contracts, things like that. You know, it's little things that are going to affect this next week and a half. It's going to be fascinating from us, from a coverage standpoint. It's fascinating because there's going to be so many moving parts about who's going where or who's doing what. And I'll give you the perfect example.
Yep.
Think about the Nets, right? The Nets have decided that Kyrie Irving might not be their guy, right? We saw what he did in as a star, a stud with the Cleveland Cavaliers, helped them win a championship. But then he wanted out from underneath LeBron James, and he moves to the Boston Celtics. So we thought, oh, this is going to be great for Kyrie. He's going to get to be the man. It didn't work out that way, and he kind of became I don't want to say a pariah, but whatever. He was just
he's perceived very differently today than he was last year.
So he opts
out. Question.
He's going to go somewhere else. Going to go to the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets are going to, let D'Angelo Russell, who's turning it. So there's lots of moving parts here. Let D'Angelo Russell, who's turning into a really good player, walk as a restricted free agent because they're going to get Kyrie, and hopefully they'll get Kevin Durant. But wait, Kevin Durant just tore his Achilles now, and so maybe they don't want Kyrie Irving by himself without Kevin
That's
Durant.
That's the story,
right?
Yep.
And so. Oh, well, God, maybe we should get D'Angelo Russell back. Well, guess what?
Too late.
D'Angelo Russell might be going to the Suns.
He might be going across the street to the Knicks.
Or to the Knicks, right? D'Angelo Russell is going to be a highly sought-after piece in the Nets who had him and were building around him, let him bounce. Because
and developed him, really. Made him Kenny Atkinson developed him. The Lakers didn't develop him.
You're
the
right.
Nets did.
So the Nets might be stuck?
Yeah.
Holding
the
bag of nothing, which is a shame. But it is what it is.
Hold your what? Why don't you hold this bag of nothing? Here's what I don't understand. For such a brilliant business, and really the NBA is brilliant.
Yeah.
They do so much right. But business 101, and there's an expression, a term in radio verbiage, a P1. A P1 is somebody who's with you no matter what. And, whether the show's great, whether the show's average, whether the show's on vacation, whether the show's condensed because the Yankees or the Giants or whatever team you might have on that radio station's starting early. They're with you. If you're on 3 hours, but today you're only on for an hour and a half, they're with you for an hour. P1s are there no matter what.
Yes.
And NBA fans, the devout ones, and I've been a devout NBA fan since not quite the early 80s, a little bit too young for that, but the mid-80s, locked in like a maniac, they got me no matter what. Like, the NBA is like, not to make light of drug use, but it's like heroin for people who really are tormented by drugs. Like, it's almost like my sporting heroin. Mm-hmm. I love it. I need it. I crave it. And they don't have to worry about me because I'm in no matter what. What they need to do is start satisfying the needs of the fringe fan. And they need to dumb it down. It's too damn confusing. I'm confused. I mean, the moratorium, $4 million. Yesterday we talked, if Anthony Davis was dealt a week later, $4 million save here, cap hold. He can swallow the trade kicker. What? What is he on the Lakers or not? Is he on the Lakers or not?
And is he going to pass his physical? Because if he doesn't, they can send him back.
They actually can. That's happened before. A few trades in many sports happened. I don't get it.
Yeah.
What's so hard about this?
It's complicated.
Change the calendar,
well,
NBA.
I think why it needs to be changed is because we want to absorb it, right? We want to be able to talk about it. But quite honestly, I get confused.
Imagine those who parachute.
That's
in and
what
out
I mean.
I get NBA Finals, NBA Draft. They're like,
look. Two days ago, we were talking about Rob Pelinka and the fact that he might not have known the rules. Like, I couldn't explain what he didn't know. You know what I mean?
We read it.
I know. I could
read
it
so we didn't mess
but
up.
But I can't, off the top of my head, just be like, oh yeah. I mean, that's an obvious thing. Of course, you know what we're talking about. Half the people who are listening to us are like, what the hell are you talking about?
It still should be obvious to him, but point taken.
To him, it should be obvious.
To everybody else,
but to the late
listeners,
fan,
they're like, wait, why? What?
Yeah.
A week? $4 million? What does this mean?
I'll take your word that he screwed up.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, no.
I don't really know.
They've got to change this. I don't know what the hell they're waiting for.
I think they will. And I think this year, it proved it.
This was the punctuation?
Yeah, because we guessed this. And we talked to Billy King yesterday. We've talked to lots of people that have speculated that this draft, in particular, was going to be full of moving parts, and there were a ton of moving parts and trades and everything else, and we saw it from the very beginning of the draft after the requisite top three picks, which we all knew were going to go the way that they went.
Yep.
We knew there were going to be moving parts, and then it got confusing. You know, if you were just half listening, you got lost probably about six or seven picks in.
Yeah.
You just couldn't figure out who's where, where's going what. You're checking all the websites, and they're like, wait, it still says the Lakers, but I know he's not with the Lakers.
Yeah.
He's with the Hawks, but did that go to the Pelicans? And, you know, it's too complicated, even for people who know what they're looking at, to figure out.
I'm sitting there, in essence, second-guessing myself. Like, wait a second. I've been very diligent with all of this,
yeah,
as you and I both have. The nuance, the possibilities, you know, what hasn't happened yet, what has happened. And I'm sitting there saying, did I miss something? Did I really miss something? So, I mean, aside from that, and that's a big thing, but to put that aside for a moment, it's a real disservice to the young men.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get this once, you know, you get to walk across the stage once. Now, that when you get called on draft night, you know, independent of the sport. Now, it doesn't mean you'll play 15 years in said city. You might have four different coaches, three different GMs. Your team could relocate. I mean, there's a million variables, but the night that you get drafted, there's not supposed to be any confusion.
No.
Here's the team that drafted you. Here's your hat.
Yes.
The only thing we have to make sure is, does the hat fit?
Yes. And it should, because it should be an adjustable one.
Oh, God.
They'll fix it. They have to.
Well, wait. You keep saying they'll fix it.
They'll fix it.
I mean,
they will.
It's never been this bad. I will grant that. I'll grant them this. I don't think the urgency and the ire and the fallout, the residue from last night, not just on this show, as you can feel it, and we'll take your calls coming up, 1-855-212-4227. The fallout so palpable that they have to react. And I trust they will, because I have a lot of respect for the way they handle business.
The NBA is good like that.
That's right. Okay, so how confused were you? And obviously, Teek and I will get into some of the aspects of the actual draft. And we will get into this coming up next as well. David Griffin. You thought he fleeced the Lakers? Which he did. That wasn't even his most brilliant basketball moment of the week. What he did last night was borderline sublime. We'll get to that coming up here on Teek and Teek. Where's my hat, Teek? What team are we on? What network are we on? Oh, that's right, CBS. CBS,
yeah,
Sports
CBS.
Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance here on a Friday across the country. Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. And it's a nice menu. We've got Odell Beckham Jr. is on it. Little Bowl, little Bryce Harper, a little Alex Smith as well. So we'll get to that coming up. Obviously, no surprise. Zion, Morant, Barrett, pretty much locked in. We knew that coming in 1, 2, 3. Hunter going 4 once we found out where he was actually going to, you know, wind up going. mild surprise, but not crazy surprise.
No,
not
actually,
a crazy surprise.
I kind of like that that spot for DeAndre Hunter. Obviously, he was drafted by the Lakers.
Yeah.
And put through the Pelicans, sent to the Atlanta Hawks. But I like this for a lot of reasons, because when you listen to the analysis of this, if you're watching this on the network, you see him putting on the Lakers hat, even though everybody knows that this pick was going to the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks are trying to be like the Golden State Warriors. They're going to have a Trae Young-type player, smaller point guard who can shoot lights out at times, and then some big wings. Obviously, DeAndre Hunter is one, maybe one of the best defenders in this draft.
I think he's the best.
Yeah, probably is the best, because he can guard anybody, especially if you go small. And you know, and he can even probably guard a small five if he has to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get Cam Reddish, who has some shooting issues. We don't love him.
Yeah, I don't love that pick. But he could pop.
But he's athletic. You know what I mean? He's versatile, and if he's put into a specific role, this is all you're doing, because you're not going to be the volume scorer. That's what Trae Young is for.
Yep.
And Kevin Huerter is as well. This Atlanta team could be interesting. John Collins is there.
Collins is very good.
They're probably a couple years from, because it depends on Trae Young being the stud, like being in his prime. They're probably a couple years from being elite, but I like what their roster looks like right now. And as I mentioned with Cam Reddish, it's specific, right? They have a specific role that they drafted for. So they had a plan. You could tell they had a plan, and they went after it. They traded up. They took some assets. They traded up because they wanted to get DeAndre Hunter. Specifically, and because he fits what they want to do. He's going to be a good defender. He's a good shooter, as we saw at points. Sometimes he likes to defer a little bit too much, but he is a good shooter, as we saw in the national championship game. So I like where he landed, and I like what the Hawks are doing, even if it's not going to be fully realized for a couple years.
Mm-hmm. You know, listen, you've got to be married to your convictions, and you know, you can't worry about, you know, dopey websites and dopey radio hosts like us basically lambasting a pick when nobody knows what the hell's going to really, if it's going to come to fruition positively or negatively. Nobody really knows. I mean, you want to have a good chuckle, whether it's Mel Kiper, you know, whether it's McShay, and both, you know football inside and out. You know, whether it's our own Jason Lockenfour, who we love. Yeah. I mean, just go out there. I had a tweet. Oh, my buddies were crushing me during in Myrtle. This came up. I actually tweeted. I can't believe that I wish that this could just evaporate and disappear. But it can't, thanks to the internet and thanks to Old Takes Exposed. Thanks, guys. I somehow tweeted, and I wasn't drunk when I tweeted this. I tweeted a couple of years ago, and I even threw in the word firmly. I didn't just say, you know, I think or it could. I firmly believe, you ready?
Okay.
That both Christian Hackenberg and Connor Cook will be better than Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. I got to own it. So we all make dopey predictions, but if you're a team, you've got to be above that and say, hey, listen, I don't care what this clown thinks. I don't care what that clown says. Right. We believe in this young man, his trajectory, the ability to insulate him and coach him up, and we go from there. The one thing that I did question, not the player, who I love. Actually, I like both of them. I was a little confounded by what the Cavaliers did in drafting Garland. Not that, you know, only 4.5 games. No. They just took Colin Sexton a year ago. That's a little perplexing to me. That's one where I'm like,
that seems like a ball fight ready to happen.
What are we doing here?
It seems like a ball fight ready to happen. Mm. Which one of you guys is actually going to be the ball handler? Or, I mean, maybe in theory both of you are, but that doesn't always work.
Unless you're getting ready to trade Sexton. I mean, you never know.
But why would you do that?
Beilein did draft him. He's just there, so maybe. I don't know. It was just an odd move for a team that just took a point guard in the top 10 the year before.
I thought the same thing, BT, but the only thing that you can surmise, hypothesize.
No, stop. Yeah, please stop.
Is that?
By the way, we got 5 buttons open today?
Yeah.
We got the black John Travolta today.
The good thing is,
my wife gets on me for having like the second button. You literally have 5 buttons. Button, I don't want to look at you. Button one up
two,
there.
Three, four,
come on.
5, 6.
There you go.
But anyways, John Beilein might want to play this way, right? Because we don't know how he's going to coach.
Would he have
NBA.
That kind of power? I'm not saying he wouldn't.
I don't
I'm
know.
Asking.
That's because it doesn't make sense, right? You just drafted a point guard. Mm-hmm. You're going to draft another one. Who maybe there's some question marks about because he only played 5 games, right? But if maybe John Beilein wanted that. That's the only thing I could think of.
Possible.
I don't know.
I'm not going to rip it because I like both Colin and I like Garland.
But just together?
Yeah.
I don't know. Neither one of them. I mean, I guess if one of them had to be off the ball, it would be why am I forgetting his name? Just Garland.
It'll be Garland. It'll be Colin as the
but he is
predominant ball handler, I would imagine.
I would think.
He's more of a scorer, Garland.
I think.
I'm happy Hachimura from Gonzaga made it inside the top 10. For some strange reason, he was plummeting in a lot of mocks. That was obviously off base.
Yep.
He goes to the Wizards. I like that pick.
First Japanese.
Wait. Is it really the Wizards? Let me make sure it really was the Wizards. I'm just kidding. Kobe White to the Bulls, I love. Now, I was raving about this kid yesterday, really last week or so. Kobe White with Markkanen. Listen, you could sleep on Markkanen all summer because you slept on him last year. And every time I bring him up, you're like, yeah, he's okay. He's okay.
Well, you know what,
Lauri Markkanen is 10 times better than okay. Yeah. I love the Kobe White
pick. I just don't see him enough because, you know, they don't play nationally anymore.
I got you. Take your partner's word for it.
I will.
Markkanen can ball.
I will.
He can ball. And he's not just a soft shooter.
Yeah.
Gets to the rim a little bit more than people think.
Yeah.
So I like that move, too. That jumped out in the top 10.
The Suns with Cam Johnson, that's the one that everybody is up in arms about.
I know.
We talked about Cam Reddish with the Atlanta Hawks, but Cam Johnson's 23?
23 years old.
23 years old. We talked about this a couple days ago, BT. When you get that old in the draft, people feel like they already know your ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not much for you to go to grow into. He had some injury issues when he was at college. Now, he's a really good shooter. And maybe if he's just asked to be a shooter out in Phoenix, because if they do, they have Devin Booker, so they have a scorer. They took Ty Jerome, DeAndre Ayton is there. So they got some young, really good talent.
Oh, yeah.
But if they just need him to be a shooter, it makes sense. But it's really high for a guy who's 23 years old and you're just going to have him shoot here and there.
A little, unless they're just looking for an infusion of maturity. And again, as a 23-year-old rookie, he's older than Devin Booker. He's older than Booker. This is going to be Devin's fourth season. I think it's going to be his fourth.
Yeah.
Devin. I believe it's four.
It will be.
And this kid's older. Hasn't played a minute. That's quirky. I would challenge, and I'm not saying that there's not a team that, I'm sure you can identify some team, but I remember you and I did this probably 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bad time to do it. Pre-free agency, post-draft here. I don't know that there's an NBA fan base right now that could, if they're objective and somewhat intelligent, just a modicum of basketball intelligence, all right? I don't know that anybody could look at their situation and say, we are utterly despondent. We have virtually no hope.
Yeah.
Like the Knicks last year.
Yeah.
Or like the Nets a couple of years ago. Or like the Sixers a couple. Like, where is the NBA situation where you look at and you say, there's no intriguing young players or there's no cap space?
Yeah.
I don't see many of those situations around the NBA.
There aren't, which makes, let's take me back to your R.J. Barrett pick. You love this?
I love it. I love it.
This is, I think it was exciting.
I love it.
I loved his emotion, by the way, because he was standing there with his dad. And
who played at St. John's,
played
by the
at
way.
St. John's.
Rowan Barrett.
His mom.
Then, of course, he transferred to Duke, and he won.
As we talked about yesterday, his mom is from Brooklyn. He wanted New York.
Yes, he
did. That's all he wanted, New York. It's the only team he worked out with, met with. He said, don't draft me anybody else. Not that anybody else was going to get a shot because the Knicks were at three after
the
lottery.
Unless, and we worried about that, maybe the Grizzlies swapping number two out.
Moving up with the Pelicans.
Moving in and pair him up with his college teammate.
Yeah, and then he did his interview afterwards, which was great. And his dad started talking. And next thing you know, he was crying.
Yeah,
man.
That was
my favorite moment, I think. R.J. Barrett, you know, letting his emotions get the most of him.
Oh, I'd be a complete mushball on draft night. I cry at commercials. Like, if there's this, like a family element, I'm ashamed. The older I get, the more I tear up.
It's because you're kids.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You definitely see
you
the
feel
world.
It. Like, 100%. It. Like, you can put it in your mind that how that could, how, you can see yourself in that role.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But that was cool. That was
you
my
like
favorite
the pink
moment.
Outfit?
I did. I didn't think
it
I would.
It worked for him.
I saw it on social media, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
But then when I saw it live, it actually looked okay.
Well, the dark shirt was nice. If it was like a white shirt, I don't know if that would have flew too nicely. But the kissing, you know, one thing I noticed, there is a sophisticated, and I hate, you know, I can't prove this. I can't. I cannot prove this. But there is an undeniable sophistication to the young men in and the NFL as well.
Yeah.
When they get drafted and you listen to them speak.
That's a good, great point.
It's just different than it was in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, they know what to say.
I think
they know how to say it.
The world's more educated.
Well, I mean, that, and they probably have, they hire PR folks at the college level, right? It's because they know that the media at major colleges, and most of these kids are coming from major colleges. You know, there was the one kid from Belmont.
Belmont, yeah. Got in the 20s, 25, 26, whatever
look,
it was.
Look, if they're good, they're making the tournament, they got to be in front of a mic.
Uh-huh.
Right? So
uh-huh.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're not coached, but just given some pointers on what to say and how to say it.
Yep.
Because you're right. You don't get that.
That's
gone. Giving my best. You don't get that anymore.
No, that's
great.
Kind of been wiped out.
It's great.
And it's not just the savviness of saying the right thing, which is one skill set, but there's also, and again, I can't prove this, it just seems like there's a deeper level of intelligence about the world.
I think you're right.
That's a really, you know, and nobody really brings that up. That's a great thing to see.
Well, here's the thing.
Our young kids getting smarter.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't know. I feel that.
Look,
I'm sorry.
We can knock social media and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all those other things for being sometimes full of nonsense.
Yep.
It's also full of a lot of information.
That's true.
A lot. And you almost can't help but see it. Right? It's like when I'm reading or watching, going through my stories and I see XYZ happened in Iran.
Uh-huh.
You know, a tanker was. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
You stop for a second and you read it. Like, what's going on here?
Correct.
You just happen to absorb it, even if you're not trying to.
That's true. That's a very good point.
So we can knock like how these kids spend so much of their time like tweeting and social media and all that stuff.
And the pitfalls. And we all know what they are.
Oh, they're definitely pitfalls. But you got to be smart. But there's also there's a deep benefit to it if you really know how to use it. Right, I get all my information, most of my information on a daily basis from Twitter.
Digitally,
right?
Yeah.
It's all digital.
We watch the news
every
night.
Even the articles that I'll read, it's because it's pushed to me through some social network.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Like, guess what XYZ happened in, I don't know, Sudan,
uh-huh.
New York Times, and I'll click on the link and I'm reading an article.
Yeah, no,
so
I hear you.
It's actually good, even though it's bad at times.
True, and, you know, we talk about the you know, how this comes up a lot, or whenever it comes up. But, you know, I am a consumer of the news at night. Like, Jen and I watch the news every night, bounce around all the different networks, and because I still enjoy the debate style.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, there's really nothing in the middle. It's, you know, you yell, I yell, you yell, I yell, you yell, I yell, segment's over, good night, and there's really nothing solved.
Well,
we're going to
agree to disagree next week.
Exactly.
XYZ.
You got to cut some. Somebody's got to get the last. Somebody's pissed. Somebody doesn't get the last word. But. You know, when we were kids, and I've relayed the story when I first started reading the newspapers, and I was probably 7-ish when I couldn't wait for my dad to get home. And that was all a function of sports. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, as I got older, I'd move into, like, the horoscopes, and I'd read even, like, you know, the cartoons and the movies. And eventually, I'd get to something about the world.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't go out of my way to get the newspaper from my dad, I sure as heck wasn't watching the news when I was 9 years old. I wouldn't stumble upon news. So you wouldn't become naturally worldly unless you went out and pursued it. To your point, on social media, even if you don't want to see it, and even if it's just on the periphery, just a general working rudimentary sense of what's going on in the world, you stumble upon it.
Or somebody you follow tweets about it.
Or that, obviously. All right, let's get the update. John Fass is with us here. We'll get that from John. And then inbounds, out of bounds. And how about this? One of the star wideouts in the NFL can't let the pass go. And he's got to start. He's got to. We'll get to that after John's update, which is right now. Here's John. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to basically shoot something by us. If you want to get an answer to it, you can just send us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio. Make sure you use the hashtag AskThePros and make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best ones. So the more compelling it is, better chance that we'll circle back to it for you. Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. I mean, we're at that point now where it's just, you know, now you kind of, you settle back and you inhale, then you exhale, then you get ready for the craziness of free agency with the NBA. You know, obviously we get ready for the British Open. The PGA Championship, getting ready for the Big Three, which launches this weekend, Detroit on Saturday.
Yep, you'll be on the road this weekend.
On the road again, Indianapolis. Looking forward to that with the Pacers play. Good, I know they sold a lot of tickets too, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Have some golf this weekend, but this is the time where you get to relax a little bit, start to gear up for the big run for football season. Not right. yet. Not we're not there yet.
Not
you
quite.
Got to decompress a little bit.
Got about a half a month.
I enjoy this time of the year, though.
I do.
Really do. I think if you're, not to mention the pennant races. I mean, yeah, it's crazy, you know, not to make it too regional, too local, But as a Yankee fan, it's amazing what they've done without half their guys.
No, you're right.
It's incredible.
And you get good outings every now and then from Paxton, from CC, Mashiro Tanaka. Like, their rotation needs another arm, probably.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But they're maintaining, right? Because they're scoring so many damn runs. Mm-hmm. They scored 12 runs when they swept the Rays two days ago. It was. That was CC's 250 win. Right, if you could put up six in the first inning,
I know.
I mean, it's easy for
doesn't matter
staff.
Who you throw out there.
Exactly,
find a way to stabilize it, get that 27th out. So, it is a fun time of the year, and good to have you with us on the show here, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, ready for Inbounds Out of Bounds?
Yep, let's get it.
It's a good one. Let's go. All right, starting out of the chute, a little drama. Odell Beckham Jr., immensely gifted, loves drama though. And he's not done taking shots at the Giants. He did an interview with Complex Magazine. Boy, if there's ever a magazine to do an interview with him, it's Complex Magazine.
That's right, because he's a complex man.
Or even Confounding Magazine, because his tantalizing skills are not entirely offset by some, you know, some drama. But let's get to the question. It's starting to annoy me with this here. So he did say in the interview, quote, "I felt like I wasn't going to be able to reach my full potential there. Mentally, physically, spiritually, everything I felt capable of doing, I just couldn't see it happening there." Mm. That's a heavy shot.
That's a
pretty damn good
very
franchise.
Heavy shot.
Granted, a franchise that's lost its way a little bit, but a historically great franchise.
Fix
so,
it.
Fix it, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I know. Of course, Beckham's outspoken nature is one of the reasons the Giants decided to move away from him. Inbounds, out of bounds. Odell's right that the Giants and Eli, in particular, held him back from coaching his full potential.
I got to say out of bounds of this.
From reaching, not reaching. Coach, reaching.
Yeah, I got to say out of bounds of this because, first of all, it's unfair to Eli and to the Giants because for a lot of these seasons, mm-hmm. he was hurt.
Yep.
Right? He just didn't play. That's not anybody's fault. The Giants were going through a transition, particularly on their offensive line, which made it hell for everybody, including Eli. So, of course, he's not going to get his. But let's not forget, Odell Beckham Jr. had set the record for most receptions in the first 3 years of his career, and he missed six games his first year, right? So, I maybe there was like the stratosphere, the next galaxy was your ceiling, but the Giants got you pretty far, Odell. I'm just saying, so I got to say out of bounds.
Totally out of bounds. And the one that really gets me is the use of the word spiritually. Hmm. You know, I don't know about Odell. I mean, I don't know what he's looking for when he walks into the facility, but, you know, when I look to strengthen my spirit, I go to church. You know, I say prayers before I go to bed. We have a few pamphlets around the house by the coffee machine. You wake up, you read some inspiring words. That's how we do in our home. That's where I'm fulfilled spiritually. I mean, I love CBS. CBS isn't here to, you know, satisfy my spiritual aspect. It's not. I don't get that. That's like trying to sound too cute or too mm-hmm. smart or too. I don't even know what the expression is. But that one bothered me. The other thing that bothered me, and in totality, everything bothered me. But maybe if you would have caught that touchdown pass against the Packers, maybe you would have played a second playoff game, all right? And maybe you would have won, I don't know, a champ. You never know.
Yeah.
Because one thing we know about Eli, when Eli gets to the playoffs, Eli wins.
Yes.
And Eli was ready to play that day. Everybody was dropping passes. Everybody. So I think it's a bunch of nonsense. I think it's a low blow move.
Agreed.
The Giants aren't what they were five. They got to fix a few things, but this is off base.
And interesting, BT. I kind of alluded to this when this happened.
No, not kind of.
Yeah,
you absolutely nailed this when this happened.
I said, I think that Odell wanted out more than the Giants wanted him to leave.
You said that many times.
And their general manager did exactly kind of what was necessary.
Tiki said this. If you listened to the show, he gave you a roadmap as to what was going to happen with the Giants. He nailed it. He was right. All right, let's get to this. Midway through the college hoop season, Bol Bol was projected to be a top 10 pick. As a matter of fact, at one point, as I said this yesterday, going into the season, like he was like 4 or 5. He was closer to 1 than he was 10. Some believing he might be taken in the top 5. But in last night's draft, he fell all the way. I mean, it was sad to watch him there.
Agreed.
Because we had to look at that suit for a little bit longer than we wanted to. But felt bad for the young man. He dropped to 44 when the Heat finally snatched him up. Now, Bol only played 9 games for Oregon, all right, before suffering an ankle injury and later a stress fracture in his foot. In or out? Bol Bol fell in the draft not just because of health concerns, but also because teams don't value 7-footers like they once did.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT, because Bol Bol is 7'2", But if you were just watching these highlights on the network, CBS Sports Network, if you're watching on TV, he's got some serious handle, right? He's tall.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he
yeah.
gets down low. He bends his knees. He can cross over and take you off the dribble. So if you're going to put a big man on him, like a traditional big man on him, he's going to abuse you. So I think he's got the skill set. I think the issue kind of became this narrative that overtook him in a lot of scouts and personnel people's minds that he doesn't love the game. We hit this a little bit yesterday.
Yes, we did.
And that he's just enigmatic, and he's like a troublemaker in some regard.
Ah, troublemaker's not the right
but
word.
But you know what
not
I mean.
Troublemaker.
Not like he's gonna get in like a get arrested or things like not like that. But just I don't know. Just like he's trouble in a locker room. I think that's what was talked about with him, and it's not fair to him because he was hardly in the locker mm-hmm. room. You know what I mean? But he's got an awesome skill set.
He does.
So at 44. He's probably the steal of this draft, not because, because he fell so far, but he's just a steal. He's such a good athletic a shooter and dribbler and producer, right? They stole him.
And he's going to a team that doesn't need him to produce right away.
Exactly
right. A team that won 50-something games a year ago, was yep. the number two seed in the Western Conference, and all of their young pieces are getting better. By the way, Mike Porter didn't play last year either.
That's right.
With the back issue. I say out of bounds as well. He's not Taco Fall, who did not get drafted, by the way. And we saw Taco UCF against Duke when Barrett with the mm-hmm. pushback, and there were a ton of questionable calls and referee calls in that game. We had our buddy Sterator on the show for that. Yeah. The breakout. It was a great game. Taco Fall is taller, but that's where the big man is frowned upon, maybe yeah. a little more so than certainly the 80s and even into the early 2000s. It's been a complete drafting recalibration. I think that they look at the genes of his dad, too. I mean, his dad was not very durable. Now, mm-hmm. his dad had a different body, bowl, bouncier, as you pointed that out properly, a little more muscle tone. I mean, I say this endearingly, Manute Bol was, and I really say this endearingly, was a freak.
Yeah.
He was a physical freak. He was just a freak. Bol Bol is a basketball player,
yeah.
but he does have a little baggage. I don't think in the personality department, yeah. maybe as much as you.
He's got to get
injury prone.
He's got to get thicker. He's only 208 pounds at 7'2".
Wow. I'm 220. I'm 6'2".
I know.
Should probably be 212 if I'm going to keep it real. All right, next. Alex Smith, let's get to this. All right, did his first interview since suffering the severe broken leg against the Texans back in week 11. One of the good guys in the NFL.
Agreed.
Real warrior, really great competitors. Now, he's still wearing the external fixator on his leg, which he says, quote, will save my leg and save my bone and allow me to walk again. That's kind of an ominous take. If you want him to come back and play football.
Which makes this question kind of easy.
I hear you. Maybe not, though. He also stated his goal was to return to the NFL, saying, quote, that's the plan. I got to conquer some more steps before I get there. But, yeah, I expect to play. Inbounds, out of bounds. Despite his best efforts, Alex Smith will never take another snap as an NFL quarterback.
I'm going to say inbounds to
Are
this.
You really?
I love Alex Smith.
You had a different tone a couple weeks ago when this came up.
I saw the picture.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
And if you see these pictures, think, you know the guys that have the severe neck injuries and they have to wear that halo?
Of course.
Right? That's what it looks like on his leg.
Yeah, I know. It's very cumbersome. It's frightening.
It's cumbersome. It's like scary looking.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
35 years old.
Yeah.
By the time he's likely able to put weight on this, it'll be a year or so and really start moving around the way he likes to move around. He'll be 36.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see it happening, BT. As much as I want to and believe in him, I got to say inbounds. I don't think he's going to take another snap as an NFL quarterback.
I can see why you would say that. And I admittedly answer this probably a little bit bigger piece of my heart than I do my head. I'm going to say out of bounds. I grew to respect him so much. Mm-hmm. Remember when I was in San Francisco, he was getting destroyed.
Yeah.
This is before Harbaugh rehabilitated him and they started to win. And I was on the radio basically saying, a little more respectfully, but this guy stinks because all I knew of him was my purview from a distance. Like, former number one overall pick, he doesn't win. He's had three coaches. He's not that good. Alex Smith could play, and Alex Smith is a gentleman, and Alex Smith loves football. So I'm going to say inbounds. I hope he gets back. If he wasn't an athletic quarterback, I'd feel even better saying that, but he does run around, and if that leg is compromised, that's a problem. As you point out, you'll probably be right, but hopefully sometimes you speak it,
you're right,
and it happens. I'm going to speak him back to the NFL. I'd like to see him get a few more snaps. Think I'm going to hit the camera today?
You got it.
Oh,
you're close. threw it too hard. He didn't take some off that fastball.
Nah. Mike Socia knows about that, former catcher. He'll join us coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.